Good morning. My name is Josh Esparza. I'm one of the high school pastors here on staff, and it's really a pleasure to be here. Victoria, my wife, we joined HPUMC a little over a year ago, and this past year has been incredible. It has been a year of growth. It has been a year of joy. It's been a year of friendships. And so in this time, we have made the chapel our place of worship. We have enjoyed worshiping here. We have grown to love the chapel. And so for me, it is honestly a privilege to be here before you. And so as we continue to go into what we will develop as Ecclesiastes, I want to tell you a few things. One, that I took a lot of trips this summer. I went on 4 different trips. Some were personal, some were for work, mission trips, whatever. And it didn't matter wherever I was, whatever I was doing, there was one thing that people kept doing. They were taking pictures. Whether we were here on the vacation on the beach or we were in Costa Rica working on concrete slabs and building rebar, people were taking pictures. And I began to think, like, why do we do that? Why do we take pictures? Why do pictures matter so deeply? Because the reality is, all of us have pictures on our phones. We all have pictures on our computers. And if we were ever to lose them, if our iPhone doesn't back up and then it crashes, like, we are devastated. Why do pictures matter? So as I continue to think about this, I think there's a couple things. That pictures matter because we are trying to relive moments later on. That we are experiencing something special or unique that we just want to capture it. We want to remember it. We want to show it to our friends when we're done, when we come back. We want to have these memories and cherish them. But the problem when we take so many pictures, in my personal opinion, is that sometimes we forget to be present in the moment. Sometimes we're looking to take the right picture, and we're trying to make sure it's got the right angle, and maybe it has the right filter, that we forget the experience is present. That we forget to see how God is present in the things that we're doing. And so as we continue to talk this morning, there are 3 things that we'll really touch on. The brain, Mark Cuban, and vapor, okay? And so these are the things we're going to begin to explore. And as we continue to talk about these things, I'm going to warn you a little bit. We're going to get a little heavy. It's going to sound a little droopy at times, and I just stay with me. We will come out, I promise. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, but just stay in the uncomfortable for a little bit. Reflect. Wonder. Because the reality is, Ecclesiastes is a little bit of an uncomfortable book. So as we talk, just be mindful of that. Stick with me. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we are so grateful for the end of summer. God, that we have done trips and we have seen friends and family and loved ones, and we have had joys and we have had maybe some hard times. As the summer becomes to a wrap, we're about to get into a new groove of life, of school, of work, of the last end of 2017. So God, I just pray that as this morning, that this is a moment in which we can step back, reflect on where you are present and what that means for our lives. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So as we go into Ecclesiastes, there's a couple things that's important to note. One, that there's actually 2 different perspectives that we see in Ecclesiastes. That there is a teacher where you have the majority of your content coming from in Ecclesiastes. And there's actually an author who's recording what the teacher is saying. And every once in a while, the author will put in something, especially at the end of chapter 12, the teacher gets kind of deep in there, and the author tries to lighten it up a little bit. And it's like, hey, there's still hope. Like, life will be okay. I understand that these things matter, but let's not leave our readers with that. And so there are 2 perspectives that takes place. And with that, we begin to see that Ecclesiastes, it's a little bit of a different book. That it is a part of wisdom literature, it's a part of Job, it's a part of Song of Solomon, it's a part of Proverbs, it's in that genre. But it's almost like a wisdom beyond wisdom. Like a to grasp what is present, to see the things that we take for granted. And the teacher says, maybe we should reflect over those things. Why do we take the things, our everyday life, for granted? Maybe there's beauty in that. So if you have your Bibles, I will encourage you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to be in verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 8. And the reason for that is because 4 through 7 is really just in continuation that you'll see in verses 2 and 3. And so we'll have the scripture on the TV as well, but if you want to pull the Bible in front of your pew, if you want to pull it up in your personal Bible, it is in the Old Testament. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years draw near, when will you say, 'I have no pleasure in them'? Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain. And in the day when the guards of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the women who grind cease working because they are few and those who look through the windows see dimly. Vanity of vanities," says the teacher. All is vanity. So we see here that this teacher is providing wisdom in a different perspective than Proverbs. That when we look at Proverbs, it's a simple cause and effect. Do this and you will experience these things. If you pursue righteousness, like, your life will produce righteous things. But in Ecclesiastes, this wisdom looks a little different. There's an acknowledgement of being present. That this idea of vanities of vanities, all is vanity, sometimes can be projected as a folly, that life is meaningless. But the word vanity is so much deeper than that. The Hebrew word for vanity is havel, which means vapor, breath, puff of air. So not that life is meaningless, but that life is like vapor. How do we begin to look at life in the way that this author talks about vapor? A puff of air. So if our life is short, like the teacher is saying, that we see in chapter 12 and even before then what do we do with the past that we've had? What do we do with our memories? And as I was processing through this, I began to think, how many of you have seen Inside Out? Few of you, a lot of you. Okay, so I didn't really understand the purpose of Inside Out, but you see it and it's like, wow, this is incredible. Like, this is a kid's movie and I have learned so much about myself. Like, way to go, Disney. And what we see in Inside Out is that it is this little girl and she's going through some hard times and we see what's taking place inside her mind. That there are emotions taking place, that there's memories there, and we begin to see how memories are formed. And the reality with our minds are is that when a memory begins to form, there's actually stress hormones that's triggered. And then those leads to the cause of memories being stored in your long-term memory bank. But in Inside Out, you see that your memories are clean. They're easy. They're a nice glass orb that you can hold and put from one side to the other. But that's not actually how our memories work. We also see that our emotions deeply affect our memories. So there's this wheel I want to show you. It's 8 primary emotions that we see here. And these emotions are paired together with their direct opposites. So you see joy and sadness and anger and fear and trust and disgust. Like, these are the emotions that psychologists have said, like, this will influence what takes place in you internally, and these emotions will influence your memory. So the reality is our life, our memories are not these glass orbs, that they're actually scattered pieces all over the place. And when we go through the conscious process of retrieving our memories, that we have these neurons that go through and they're like synapses and they grasp them and they bring them together. But our emotions also play into effect. Our emotions affect our memory. So maybe our memories aren't quite the same. Maybe our memories are changed. The things that we hold so clearly to, so tightly to, maybe those aren't even the actual memories at all. It's incredible what takes place in the mind, that there is an emotional effect that influences how we deem memories, how we influence memories. And so maybe in our desperate attempt to cling on to these memories, maybe our memories are like vapor to you. Maybe our memories fleet. Maybe we can't hold on to them the way that we do. And maybe that's why we take pictures, because we understand that these moments won't last forever. We understand that there's something beautiful and influential that we want to hold on to. But we can't, because these memories continue to change. They fleet. They warp. It's the whole reason why eyewitness testimonies are so unreliable at times, because you can begin to insert objects on when people are beginning to recall ideas or circumstances, and that totally changes the story and the perspective of what happens. That eyewitnesses sounds like a great idea in theory, but when we begin to peel back the layers of what takes place biologically, it's hard to be dependent on those things. So as we continue to travel through, how do we recall? What do these things matter in our lives? We've recognized that it's hard to recall the past things, that the past is like vapor. It's gone in an instant. So maybe we try and look forward to the future. Maybe we're trying to make sure that our time counts in the way that we best know how. Mark Cuban says that time is your most valuable asset, that you can't buy it, you can't store it, you can't trade it, you can't keep it, you can't hoard it, you can't do anything with it, that time is undefeated. Everyone gets 24 hours. And there are several occasions when Victoria, my wife, tries to tell me that I should do something, or I should work on something, or I should stop procrastinating on something. And I'm like, Victoria, I don't have time for that. Time is my most valuable asset. And she very sternly looks at me and says, Josh, you're not Mark Cuban. And it's just like, ugh, okay, I know, but I still feel the weight of time. I may not be running the Mavs, I may not be on Shark Tank, but I feel the urgency of making my time value, to making my time matter. That time is our most valuable asset. So if time is our most valuable asset, and we spend time now trying to plan for our future, why do we do that? Why do we begin to grow worried and anxious over the things that are to come? That we're trying to plan out our time and our days, and we're trying to make preparations so that in a way that tomorrow will be better. But what if tomorrow never comes? What if you have spent so much time preparing and strategizing and making these plans work for tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes? I'm reminded of an athlete, a friend of mine, it was a friend's cousin, dedicated to their physical well-being, ran every day, ate very well, and was hit by a bus and died. Like, was doing these proactive things to live a life that would extend his life, that he would be able to experience life for decades. And in a moment, it's gone. And time is our most valuable asset, but maybe our time that's most valuable is the time that we have right now. Not last week, not yesterday, or not what we have going on tomorrow, but these moments right now. The teacher of Ecclesiastes says that everything is vanity, vapor, that our life is like a breath of air on a cold day. But when we step outside and we exhale, and our warm air forms, and in a moment we see it in front of us, and in another moment it's gone. And yet we try and cling to that. We try and shape it. We try and form it. We try and show other people it. But it's gone. It's a puff of air. It's vapor. How quickly we forget how much our time matters today. We recognize that tomorrow matters, that colleges matter, that getting the best place for our kids matters, for our students, for our job promotions, that all these things for tomorrow matters. But then maybe in that we forget how small we really are. That we forget that our life expectancy is only on average about 80 years. And that our expectancy according to the planet is minuscule. That trees here on Earth have been recorded to be 1,000-plus years old. That our place is like a speck. That we have here, that there are 7 billion people on Earth. And you and myself right now, we only take up 0.00000. That's 13 zeros before the 2% of the Earth. That's it. 13 zeros before we hit that 2. Why do we strive? Why do we make tomorrow matter? And why do we forget about today? The teacher of Ecclesiastes has a few other things to say about that. So if our past is like vapor and our future isn't guaranteed, maybe it's uncompromised, then what do we do left? What do we have left? The reality is, the present is all that we have left. Today, this moment, these moments matter. That as we prepare for this service this morning, as we're praying prior to the beginning of service, that we are praying that this hour is a moment where we experience God differently. This moment that we are here together as a people, that they matter, that they are worth something. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to do this with me. I want you to breathe in and then breathe out. That breath is a promise that your life, no matter how short or how small, matters. That breath is a guarantee that these moments matter. And why do we continue to use our lungs, the breath in our lungs, to fonder over the past or look to the future? That these breaths, that they are a gift. Why don't we use them for today? Why don't we make today matter? Because if life really is as short as it feels, and the reality is, if we begin to admit that, yes, life is short, it feels even shorter. So what do we do with that? How does that change the way we think? How does that change the way we experience God? How does that change the way we live today? That if life is short, how do we make today matter? Chapter 12 really builds on the end of what takes place in chapter 11 for the teacher in Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 11, he really says, enjoy your life. Enjoy your youth. Live it up. Seize the day. Because in chapter 12, he says, it won't last forever. The times will come when our days will end. So prior to those things taking place, like, enjoy your life. Remember that the shortness of life actually leads us to enjoying it and valuing it even more. That life is brief, and therefore it should be enjoyed. That life is like vapor. Life is hard to understand. Life is a mystery. And all those things are the same when it comes to vapor. That we can't hold it. We can't explain it. It's gone in an instant. Life is like vapor. So the meaning of our life isn't in holding on to the past or even perfecting tomorrow. That the meaning of our life is in becoming urgent participants in the work of God. And what God is doing right now in this space, in the spaces around you. That we're not looking for God to show up where we've experienced God before. That we're not anticipating where God could be later in life. But we are looking that God is present right now. That these moments that we live, we can look for and see God. And when we begin to do those things begin to influence the people around us. And when we begin to see what life really has to offer in this moment, that we can show other people what it means to value life. That life is a gift. That life is beautiful. I feel like I'm just beginning to get into this point where I experience and treasure each day. That as like a child, you take those things for granted and you think that every day is guaranteed. And you start driving to work and you start thinking about your entire lifespan and what's going to matter and what doesn't and how is the earth going to be any different after we die. And for me personally, I start to freak out a little bit and I got to calm down, right? Bring it back in and remember that these days matter, that these moments matter, and that God is present in these things. So what if we spent more time embracing the places that God might be? Maybe if we continue to look around and see, like, where is God? That as we walk outside and we feel the sun hit our skin, that we feel God present in that. That as we are laughing and talking with people that we care for and love, and we smell that sweet, sweet aroma of coffee, that God is present in those things. That as we look at our loved ones and experience life together, that we celebrate and we laugh and we cry and we do what life entails, that God is present in those things. What if that is how we begin to change our perspective of life? That life is like vapor, so you better make it count. That these moments will only last for a second. So take them in, soak them in, make them count, and see how God plays into those things. And the reality is, we don't get yesterday back. That today is a day that we have been given. And so as we continue to explore these ideas, I think that there is hope that these days matter, that the people that we see matter, that the life that we have here matters, that life is short, but maybe in its shortness, that's what makes it matter most. Havel, a puff of air, vapor. These things come and things go. Will you pray with me? God, we are grateful for the opportunity to talk about life, to talk about what it means for our lives to matter, that our lives may be a puff of air, but that doesn't make them meaningless, that our lives are an opportunity to see you, to experience your creation, and to see what our people continue to do to live life with you. God, that there is something humbling to recognize that we are just a small fraction in the story of creation. That our lives matter, that we are present with the divine, but God, that things last only for a moment. So I pray that as we take this next week, that we look for the moments to cherish, that we are slow to get frustrated with the things we don't understand, and we love and experience the things that you've given us. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.